When a 15-year-old girl goes missing, what happens to the family left behind? That's the question at the centre of Australian author Peggy Frew's new novel, Islands, a book that moves forwards and backwards through time as we get to know the missing girl Anna, her sister Junie, and her parents Helen and John. Peggy Frew was previously shortlisted for the Stella and Miles Franklin Awards for her novel Hope Farm. She's also a musician with the Melbourne band Art of Fighting, which we're listening to right now.
There was a time when we both were able to justify complete waste of time. Threw ourselves like rubbish out into the
world. Peggy Frew, welcome to the book show.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
That song seemed to have the right kind of mood for this book. I know you're a musician. Do you actually listen to music while you write?
Oh, no.
Silence?
I'm one of those people that likes silence, yeah.
So your book, Peggy, it's called Islands. And while we're dealing with the kind of metaphorical idea of islands, of the characters being islands, it's also set on this holiday island in Victoria. Is this based on a real place?
It is. And the island actually does get named in the book, but only once. So it's Phillip Island, famous for its little penguins. I do, in the novel, there are actual places, real places named. So the names of roads, the names of beaches, even places like the CWA, Country Women's Association shop in the town on the island. But I think I sort of held back from identifying it too obviously as Phillip Island by using that name too much, because I sort of didn't want the book to be branded as a book about a place, because to me it's really a book about a family and I wanted the family to be front and centre. And while it's really important that the island is the backdrop, because the book really is about how different people, in amongst other things, the book's about how different people relate differently to the same environment. I kind of didn't want it to just become the book about Phillip Island. There's been other books about it, but yeah, a book.
Look, and I promise you I'm going to get to the family in a moment, but I did want to ask about the island for a moment, because I believe this is an island that has significance to your family. You visited this place a lot.
Absolutely, and that is why I did use it and why I did want it to identify it as the actual setting, to give it its credit. So I've had a lifelong association with Phillip Island. My grandparents retired there, and so I visited there, well, since birth. I've been there pretty much every year, summer and winter, and now I go there with my own family, with my own partner and our children. And I think to continue to visit the one place over, you know, I'm now in my 40s, so over a 40-year period, it just felt like something that was very useful to have as a novelist.
Yeah, it's a way to measure your life, isn't it? Because it can be a beach where you played as a child, but then you were a mother, or this happened or that happened. So for the characters in this novel as well, coming back to that same setting allows us to see different significant moments in a life.
Yeah, that's right. It's a kind of, a measure is a good term, yeah.
So let's talk about the family at the centre of Islands. The book kind of centres around this idea of what happened to 15-year-old Anna. But I think it's probably fair to say, Peggy, that the family were in trouble well before Anna went missing. And that probably started with Helen and John, Anna's parents. Can you tell me about their relationship?
Yes, I think that is fair to say that they were in some trouble. So Helen and John, they meet at university during the 19... Oh, my God, I need my timeline. I think maybe the early 60s in Melbourne. And it's a kind of very ordinary marriage. You know, they get married young, because that's what people had to do if they wanted to live together back then, usually. And they have two children, Junie and Anna. And it's a passionate relationship, but I wanted to sort of write about passion within an ordinary life, so that they have a real spark and a chemistry there, but they are very much just ordinary people, and the marriage comes apart in a, quite an ordinary way as well. It just sort of, the life goes out of it for Helen, at least. John's sort of more content to continue with a kind of, he doesn't require a spark in the same way that Helen does, but it just sort of limps into grayness, and Helen, who is a person who's very driven to towards kind of heightened experiences, or she's a woman of large appetites, let's say, and so she just actually has to kind of satisfy herself by looking elsewhere.
You say it's a kind of ordinary divorce, but of course ordinary divorces affect children in a not ordinary way. So there's the two children, Junie and Anna, and they're affected really differently. How does Junie cope with her parents splitting up?
Well, because I moved around so much in time in this book, I kind of feel like I looked a bit at different ways that she responded. So early on, I think when we first met Junie, she's 11 or 12 and things are just, the parents are still together, but she's starting to notice that the things are going wrong. And I feel like the way that she copes with it then is to withdraw. And kind of immerse herself in nature, really, which I think is what children do a lot. And the island, in that case, is a wonderful gift to her, that she can sort of be in the water at the beach and go walk. There's a scene where she walks to a dam and stands in the dam, and all of her kind of fears are. She just sort of goes numb. She doesn't have she doesn't have the words to talk about how she's feeling, and nobody's listening to her anyway. So that's how she copes then. And then sort of later on, she becomes this kind of extremely passive sounding board for her father John, and for his grief and his kind of quiet anger that he has. And I think that's a very common story with daughters and fathers, particularly fathers of that baby boomer generation, men who kind of don't really have the resources and the language to cope with their feelings. John doesn't really have friends to talk to, and his daughter's there, you know, and by this stage she's kind of in her teens. And what at that time she actually feels important, because she feels that she's doing a role. You know, she's performing a function. She has a role, which is that she's John's kind of confidant and makes her feel special.
Which she shouldn't have to be. It just was like,
yes,
come on, John,
that's right,
talk
that's
to
right.
somebody else.
Yeah, so I wanted to cover that. And then later on she kind of realises, you know, that wasn't fair.
So there's Junie and then there's Anna. So while Junie's kind of withdrawing inside herself, Anna is acting out. What do we know about 15-year-old Anna before she goes missing?
Before she goes missing, well, we the readers, kind of have to harvest our information about Anna from various sources, and I kind of wanted the book to have this feeling of accumulation, that you pick up different pieces of information about Anna from different, because it moves through different people's perspectives, through the minds of different characters, and that never includes Anna, so she's sort of the absence at the heart of the book. So what do we know about her? We know that she's acting out. She's not going to school. She's smoking at the tram stop at the age of 12. She's getting into trouble. We know that there might be drugs, but we never really have that confirmed. We know that she's doing some self-harming behaviours, which is deeply disturbing to Junie, who's really the only person that observes that. To her big sister, Junie. Yeah, but we also know that Anna is kind of a really vivacious person, and she's sort of got this fabulous energy that can be, it can be angry and it can be antisocial, it can be annoying. You know, she's an intense person, but she's also kind of capable of great joy. There's a scene early on in the book where Junie and Anna together go on this horse ride, on a trail ride on the island, Phillip Island, and, you know, there's all of this darkness going on in the background because their parents are breaking up and they're aware of this, but at the same time no one's talking about it. And they go on this trail ride where they sort of plod around these dusty paddocks on a couple of ponies, and it's boring and it's hot and nobody's having a good time. But then something happens and the horses take off and bolt, and suddenly they're galloping, and there's this incredible burst of energy, and it's this shared wonderful experience of physical freedom that the two girls get to experience. And later on, once Anna's gone, Junie kind of goes back in her mind so often to that image of her little sister on the pony, and her helmet's fallen down so she can't, Junie can't even see Anna's eyes, but Anna is just laughing and her mouth's wide open. And so, you know, she's kind of, there's a freedom to the way that she is in the world, I think.
And a fearlessness. I would be terrified when that horse takes off, but she laughs, and I just thought that was so great. Now, Peggy, you mentioned earlier that this novel is constantly shifting backward and forward through time. At the same time, we're shifting perspectives. And sometimes in the reading of this, it would take me a moment to kind of figure out when and where we were, because it felt almost dreamlike or in this kind of collective consciousness. Why structure a book this way? Why not go, hey, we're going to go chronological, beginning to end?
Well, I suppose I could have done that, but then I would have been writing a completely different book. I didn't set out to write it like that. I actually originally set out to write a collection of short stories. And it just, I actually think that with this book, for the first time, I learned some things in the writing of this book about the relationship between content and form, and how there's a kind of symbiotic relationship between those two things. And when you start to write a book, you sort of have to let it, to me, I felt like the book was asking to be written in that style, to take that particular form. And as it took shape, it was as if the form began to explain the content to me. So,
wow.
Yeah, so I started to realise, okay, this is not just a book about, well, it's a book about a family, and we always know that there's more than one story when you're talking about what goes on within a family. So, but it's also, so then it makes sense for it to take a sort of multiple form where we have multiple voices. But then also I began to realise that the book was about people whose worlds have really been fractured and shattered and completely splintered. You know, when somebody disappears, everything you know about the world is just broken down, I would imagine. I mean, I had to imagine myself into the lives of these characters. So then it made sense that it took a form that was kind of splintered and fractured and in pieces. It was asking to be written that way, I think.
The book is also about mothers and daughters, and the way the women in this book, Helen and Junie, both kind of seem to rail against the expectations put on them, especially around motherhood. I know you've written about mother-daughter relationships in both your previous books, Peggy, and I think we've asked you this before. You know, why keep coming back to this theme?
Oh, I can't help it. I really do think that, you know, maybe it's true what they say, that authors just keep writing the same book over and over again in different ways. It's just an enduring obsession, and I think it's, you know, lots of people have it. Your mother is it's the first person that you meet. You come from inside them. You know, I I'm a mother myself now, so I get to examine that relationship from both sides. I don't know. There's still more in it. I think, I don't know if I'll ever get sick of it. I just find it endlessly interesting.
And I think you should stick with it, because I really, really love this book. Peggy Frew, it's been great to have you back on the show.
Oh, thanks so much, Claire. It's been lovely to talk with you.
Islands by Peggy Frew is published by Allen & Unwin.